Okay. So the Gemara says that in the times of Mashiach, it says that Emes Nedarta, that truth will be hidden. It'll be hard to find. And it means that that's today's subject, which is Emes, which is truth. And there are certain parts of telling the truth that are easy, but the real part of truth is much more complex. And it also means that we live in a society that doesn't necessarily value truth. I don't know if you follow the elections. There was a senator that was bragging that he was a war veteran and that he won medals. And they found out he was never there. And then there was another one like that, and he was never there. And they won the election. You know, he's just a liar. So what? He's a politician. And so that, to us, truth is much more important than that. So I thought I would start off first with the plus and the minus, which is the what do Chazal say, the positive about somebody that's careful to be truthful, and then what's the negative. There's a cute little series they have on different mitos. This one is called Midbar Sheker Tirkach. You know, it's really a subject that if we wanted to, we could spend a lot of time on. So the first thing is about the advantage of saying the truth. So it says that first of all, we start off with the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It's at the end of the first chapter. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omar, he says there are three things that keep the world going, and the first of them is truth. And sometimes we imagine that we live in a world with so many people in it that it's not necessarily important what I do, but we know from the Torah that it's not like that. The whole world may exist because somebody does the right thing. And it could be everybody else is cheating, everybody else is lying, and you decide that you are going to be truthful, and you don't know. It could be at that moment, that's why the world is continuing to exist, is because you make the decision what keeps the world going is truth. And sometimes a person themselves and their little struggle can be what keeps the world going. And the Mesil Shishorim continues with that. It says, a person who's careful with the quality of truth, it's as if they keep the foundation of the world. In other words, like a world, we're all worried about, you know, global warming and the world will be destroyed, and how can we keep the world green, and how can we save the world? You want to save the planet? Work on truth. That's the key. The foundation where the world stands on truth. And we live in a place of a lot of falsehood. And if you want to be worried about what's going to keep the world standing, you got to work on truth. It says, he brings a quote here from a medrash that says, and what makes a person beloved in Hashem's eyes? And it says that if a person is careful with what he says, that his yes is a yes and his no is a no. And then it says, if your person is truthful, yinatzu mikol tzara. This is from the Menorah Samor, that he'll be saved from all difficult times. In other words, if a person takes this one thing and is just always careful to always say the truth and be truthful, he'll be saved from all difficult things. And then he has other promises that it says, this is from a medrash, it says, in tizara min hasheker, if a person is careful never to lie, Hashem will guard him, and not only that, Shetil LaRosh V'Lelazanim, he'll become a leader, and he'll never be behind. And then he says, Hadover Emes Maruch Yamim, that if a person speaks truth, he'll live long. And there are many, many, many Chazal about a person that speaks truth, what they have to gain from speaking truth. And it was really the foundation of the world is one of the things that we all work on is being people of truth. That's the positive side. Then we have the negative. What happens if a person is a liar? Well, let's start off with the word for truth. It's emes. So emes means truth. And if you veer from the truth, if you take the first letter, the aleph, and you go away from the truth, you take the aleph and you pull it away from the rest of it, what do you have? Mm-hmm. Mace, death. And when a person goes away from the truth, then that leads to death. The The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that there are four groups of people. Well, it says that every person has a share. Every Kol Yisrael Yesh Lo Chelek Olam Haba. Every person has some good to them. Every person has a share in the world to come. Every person will have a seat in heaven. But it says that there are four groups of people that won't get to greet Hashem. Arba kitus ein mekabel pnei shchina. Four groups won't greet Hashem, and the first on that group are the shachranim, people that constantly lie. That's the first group. And then the Gemara Pesachim said there are three kinds of people that Hashem hates, which is very strong. Hashem loves everybody. What's the first group? Hamedaber echad bepeh ve'echad b'lev. It's a person that talks one way and in their heart they're thinking something else. In other words, a person who's lying, a person who's not saying the truth. That's something that Hashem hates. And then, remember before we said, if you say the truth, the reward will be long life. It says if a person lies, then it says they'll have a short life. And he quotes a pasuk in Tehillim. It says, "Anshei damu mumirma," people that are bloody or people that are deceitful, "lo yechzu yameihem," their days won't be lengthened. Their days will be cut off. And again, he continues on and on with quotes about. So on the one hand, the person that's careful to be truthful, the reward is amazing. He keeps the whole world going, and it's the foundation of the world, and he has a long life, and he'll be saved from all kinds of difficulties. And then on the other hand, the person who's lies, or who defines their essence as a lie, so then Hashem hates them, and they won't even be able to greet Hashem in the world to come, and their life will be shortened. And so that's the if you could read through this book, it's a safer. It has chazal after chazal after chazal. I don't have to prove the point, but I just wanted to give you a flavor of that. Sometimes people get confused about what truth is. Now, let's start off with the Chumash. We're in the Parsha of Yosef. At the end of Parshas Vayechi, it says that after Yaakov died, the Shvatim were afraid that Yosef now was going to settle the score. Just like you remember that Esav said that when his father dies, when Yitzchak dies, then he'll get even with Yaakov. And so now that Yaakov had died, the Shvatim were afraid that maybe Yosef treated them well because he was afraid of their father. But now that their father died, they would remember that Yosef threw them in prison, that Yosef put him in the pit and sold them. So all the Shvatim were afraid. So this is what happened. On their way back from their father's funeral, it's at the end of Parshas Vayechi, it says the following. It's in Perek Nun Pasuk Tesayin B'tzavis Yosef Leimor Avicha Sivla Neimosa Leimor. Our father told us to tell you before he died. We have final instructions from Dad. This was his last will. Ko tomer le Yosef. Please, thus you shall say to Yosef, please forgive your brothers for their terrible sin. That's what the Pasuk says. Now, any of you remember where Yaakov said that to tell Yosef? He didn't. They made up the whole story. Why did they make it up? They were afraid Yosef would kill them, but they knew that Yosef respected everything that Yaakov did. So if they would tell Yosef that Yaakov said before he died that you should forgive your brothers, then maybe he would forgive them. That's a good plan. Rashi says, how could they say this? It's not true. I have one of these tiny print Rashi's. Let's see. Shinu v'davar, they lied. Lifnei hashalom, because they wanted there to be peace. Kilot zivil Yaakov came, because Yaakov never commanded them to tell Yosef Shlo Nechshed Yosef ben Einav. He never suspected. He didn't even know that they stole it. He didn't know the whole story. So that's interesting. So here you have the Shiftei Kav, the Shvatim, telling a lie. Were they criticized for that? No, not really. Because they were trying to save their lives. They were trying to get along well together with him. And they thought that by telling him this, that would then he would they'd be able to get along better. So you might say, well, that's a person talking. You know, people maybe people do that sometimes. They bend the truth a little bit. But then we have a pasuk in Bereishis like this, that Avraham had the Malachim came to his house. And they didn't know their Molochim. In fact, he thought they were guests in Parshas Vayera. And as they came, they gave, three of them came, and Avraham waited, and Sarah waited on them. And they told them the following. Verse 10. V'yom my love, Eyesori Shtecha. Where's your wife, Sarah? They said, and Avraham said, Hinei ba'ohol. She's over here. She's in the tent. The Yomar, and you will tell her, Shuva, Shuva Lachak Eis Chaya. When we come back, around this time, Vinei Bein Lesora Ishtecha, that she will have a child. The Sora Shemaser Pesach Oh, and she heard. And this was great news. This was exciting. They've been waiting so long. Sometimes we daven for something so long, we wait for something. Yibbeis, Betisak Sora Bekirva. Sora laughed inside, and she said, she overheard that the, what these messages, she didn't know they were angels of Hashem, and she said, "Akre b'haisi lo idna b'adoni zakim." My husband's so old. How could we have kids, right? Abraham is not a young person anymore. It's too late. We're too old. But she said, "Adoni zakim." She said, "How could we have kids? Abraham is too old." And so then Hashem comes to Abraham. Basically, what Abraham, Hashem repeated the story to Abraham. He said that Sarah said, she didn't say that her husband was so old. He said that Abraham, that she's so old. The question was, why did Hashem tell Abraham that Sarah said that she was so old? She said that Abraham was so old. So Rashi says that Hashem didn't tell the truth. Why? Because Abraham, nobody likes to hear they're so old. So she really meant, he didn't lie, but she really meant to say, you know, we're both so old, but nobody likes to hear that I'm the old one. She thinks I'm so old? Well, she's pretty old too, you know. That's the, so, but what you see is that sometimes telling the truth isn't necessarily what you should do. And then we find that when Abraham travels to Mitzrayim, he asks Sarah a favor. Can I tell everybody you're my sister? Why? Because if I tell everybody you're my wife, then they're going to kill me. So we find that there are examples where it seems like that telling the truth was not always the was not the right thing to do. And we look up to the Avos, right? And so what's the answer? So the Gemara mentions that there are three different heterim, or ways, cases where you don't have to tell the truth. Three different cases. Now, obviously, if you could tell the truth, that would be the best thing. But if you, there are certain cases where the truth isn't the best thing. And they are the following. Anybody want to guess where you don't have to tell the truth? The Shalom, right? In other words, if you tell the truth, if it'll, it would be a lack of Shalom. Interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, we all know the song. It says, "What are you ketzer meratim with neyakala?" In other words, how do we dance in front of the bride? We say kalanava chasuda. So we praise the bride, and we say she's so beautiful, she's so appropriate. The Gemara says that Beis Shammai said, well, what do you do if the bride isn't beautiful? What do you say? So Beis Shammai says, in effect, that you say, oh, her dress is beautiful. Or you say, you find something else to say. But you can't praise her and say she's beautiful. Midbar Sheker Tircha. You're not supposed to lie. So there is an idea that that sometimes there's another level. In other words, when someone says they may be beautiful, when someone says beautiful, you might not be referring to their looks. You might be referring to their neshama. And so every kala is to her husband and to people who know her, she's beautiful. And so according to Beis Hillel, you're allowed to say on every person, or sometimes a person says, how do I look? Like an older person. And they look terrible. And you say, oh, you look awful. Would you want to, they would feel awful. They would ruin their day. So is the truth is the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say to them, you look terrible, you look awful? Or, oh, you look beautiful, you look fine. So we don't believe that truth, even though we try as much as we can to be truthful, and we'll talk about that a little bit more, but it doesn't mean that you would say the truth necessarily to hurt someone's feelings. They bring down also that sometimes a person doesn't have to say the truth if they want to be modest. There's a, for example, it says if sometimes somebody wants to ask you, do you know all of that? And you don't want to brag and say, well, not really. Sometimes when you want to study for a test and you ask someone, oh, I don't really know it, and they know it all, right? Is the person a liar? Or they don't like to say, they want to be modest. They want to be, that's not necessarily a lie. It's not sheker. That would be an example of modesty. And so we have that a person doesn't have to say the truth for shalom. They don't have to say this truth necessarily for modesty. Sometimes they don't have to say the truth for privacy. Well, modesty is more like bragging. Like, if a person were to say, like, if a person would, did you study, do you know it all? Or, yeah, I know everything. Or, so you're allowed to say, well, I don't know so much. Or, that's just personal modesty, like not bragging. In the same way we avoid lying, we also avoid bragging. And so, in that case, if you're a person that never likes to brag, and a person is just asking, if somebody studied the whole Talmud, and someone says, do you know the whole Talmud? And, well, not really. You don't have to say, yeah, I know it all. Or, and then privacy would be, what it talks about if I think that their wife was shampooing their hair, and that somebody calls on the phone and says, is so-and-so home? And no, they're in the restroom. And no, you don't have to necessarily tell somebody what a person is doing. That's more of a privacy kind of issue, or more of a, there are other examples, but, the general rule is whenever a person is doing, wants to do the right thing, and they have an ideal that conflicts with doing the right thing, so they should ask the Shiloh, or they should think about it. We call doing the right thing, we call it midos. Midos means a measure. And so sometimes, generally speaking, we always try to be truthful, but if being truthful will harm somebody, or it'll be a negative in some way, it'll sound like I'm bragging, or if something bad will come about because of being true, it'll hurt somebody's feelings, so then truthful alone, it's not the time necessarily to be truthful in that sense. We have another example. When Yaakov Avinu went to get the bracha from his father, from Yitzchak, so originally Yitzchak was going to bench Esav. So Yaakov came in, and he appears like he lied. In other words, he didn't. His mother told him to go in and pretend that you're Esav. So this is what happens. So V'yomer ata zeh b'ni Esav. So Yitzchak says to him, "Are you my son Esav?" So what does Yaakov say? He says, "Ani." It's me. He becomes suspicious. And there's an earlier verse where he says like this, "V'yomer Yaakov el Aviv, Anochi, I am Esav Bekorcha." Esav is your firstborn. That's why Rashi puts the pause in there. Why? He's lying. So why can't he just say, "I'm Esav"? So there's an idea that even though he was lying, so to speak, he wanted to say it in a way that he wasn't actually lying. He said, "I am Esav is your firstborn." That's the way Rashi says. Anochi hamevi lach, I am the one who brought you the food. The Esav hi bechorcha, and Esav is your firstborn. Now, to us, the whole thing is kind of strange. Why did Yaakov have to do that? Wouldn't it have been easier? Why couldn't Rivka just tell him, "Yitzchak, by the way, I had a nevuah from Shem that the younger son is going to be the one that deserves the bracha"? So our tradition is that she was told, it was told to her and not to Yitzchak. And Yitzchak was a Navi. And a Navi, Hashem tells prophets all kinds of things about it. The big tzaddikim like the Avos, they knew everything that was Hashem's will. And if Yitzchak didn't know, Rivka understood that she wasn't supposed to tell him because it was a secret that she knew. And so she understood that it was necessary for the younger one to get the bracha. And somehow Yaakov had to go through this. Why? So we have a tradition that a person is tested with things that they find difficult. Otherwise it wouldn't be a test. So for example, Abraham, who was the attribute of kindness, how is he tested? Take your son and slaughter him. He's the one that loves everybody. He's commanded to be cruel and kill his son, bring a sacrifice. And then one of his tests was to take Yishmael and to send him away. He's the one that brought in every guest. He had to send away his own son. Or he was trying to be makarv people, and he worked on people, and he was involved in people's lives, and Hashem said to him, "Lech lecha, pick up and go. Leave everybody behind. Leave your father behind, your aged father." How could he do that? The answer is Hashem was testing him in what he found difficult. Yaakov's attribute was emes, was truth. And so Hashem tested him with what he would find difficult. Because you're a truthful person, I'm going to put you in a situation where truth might not be the right thing. You're going to need to work hard to get the bracha that you're supposed to get from your father. But you're going to have to squeeze it in to get the bracha. Or you're going to deal with the father-in-law that's a trickster. And so, because we're finding a mitzvah difficult, doesn't mean that there's something wrong. In fact, the opposite. Hashem is testing us. And because if we find it difficult and we manage to do the right thing, that makes it something great. And that means it might be what keeps the whole world going because of it. The point of it, though, is I don't want to, you know, we never want to compromise before you start. In other words, a person should always try to be truthful, but he should just be aware that there are situations where we want to be truthful because that's Hashem's will, but it's not Hashem's will that we insult somebody, that we hurt somebody, that we brag. So we have to know that there may be situations where we can't use the truth, or we're being tested whether we do the right thing or not. There's a famous story of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. He's one of the great rabbis in America. He passed away maybe about 20 years ago. That he got invited to someone's house for Pesach. And he heard that their kashrus might not be that good. And he didn't know what to do. He didn't want to insult them. He didn't want to say, well, I can't eat your house. It might betray you. I can't do that. So he said, I'm sorry, I don't eat the brachos, which means that some people for Pesach, they don't get the matzah meal wet. They don't have any matzah balls. And if you're in a house, today we have bigger kitchens. You know, well, sometimes you can have both. You can have gebrucks and non-gebrucks. In a small kitchen, it's virtually impossible to do both. You know, and so he said, I'm sorry, I can't eat at your house for Pesach because my custom is to not eat gebrucks, matzah that's gotten wet. And I know that, you know, you're going to have matzah ball soup and you're going to have other things. And they say that the rest of his life, he never ate gebrucks after that. Because he didn't want to hurt the person's feelings. On the other hand, he used a lie, which was I don't eat gebrucks, but when he said it, because it was so important to him to keep his word, he made sure that he would never for the rest of his life, even though he was not Hasidish, he was a regular Ashkenaz Jew, he never ate gebrucks. There were many. And it's worthwhile to try to always say the truth. I was reluctant to mention the psukim and the other things because, first of all, I don't have to say the truth for this. I don't have to. If you can find a way to say the truth, you know, a person like that is very fortunate. That's a wonderful thing. That would be very special. The Boston Rebbe has an interesting story that he said about saying the truth. Like sometimes, you know, a person when they say something, when they've lied or they, you know, they sometimes our society we just say it so quickly, like we don't even realize it. Like, you know, we say something wrong, and we have to feel, if we feel bad about doing something wrong, then we hopefully won't repeat it. So there was a person that just got married. And he had a wonderful relationship with his wife, but he made up with her that I have one drawer in the house I don't want you to open. In other words, you can have the run of the house, you can have my bank book, you can have whatever you want, but I have one drawer in my desk that's private. I don't want you to look into that. So they lived, they were married together 20, 30 years, everything was happy, but she was always wondering, what did he keep in that drawer? That was the only thing he kept from her. And there were a few times where, when he would be away, where she would like sneak up and, you know, should I look? Should I see what's in there? Like, he never keeps anything else from me. Nobody likes a secret kept from them, especially husband and wife. Like, what's in there? So, one day he went away for an extended trip. And the first day of the trip, she said, now's my chance. He's going to be away. He'll never know. I'll just open it. So she walks to the desk. She starts, no, I can't do it. He's the second day, he's gone. She's thinking, maybe I should do it. The third day, he's just about to come back home. She can't help herself anymore. So she opens the drawer and she sees there 7 eggs and $50,000. And she closes the drawer quickly and she's wondering, what in the world? Why didn't he want me to see this? Like, you know, was he hiding the money from me? What were the eggs? And now she just, like, he came home and he could see something was wrong. Like, she was just, she didn't know what to do. So she finally blurted out, she said, I'm so sorry, I feel so terrible. I've never done this before. I couldn't help myself. I opened the drawer. But I just had to tell you why, because you've got to tell me, what's the secret of those eggs? So he said to her, well, I'll tell you what. Before I got married, somebody warned me that you're about to get married and husband and wife, and sometimes, where have you been? Oh, I was, you know, or why you're late, or what, something. Sometimes a person doesn't tell the truth. It's a chance, you know, when you live by yourself, it's easy to tell the truth, but when you're with someone all the time, it's much harder always, you know, say the emes. So he said, you're going to get married, and I want you need to do something to make sure that you're always honest. When you share your life with someone, you need to be honest. And when you've told a lie, what I want you to do is set aside an egg in the drawer to remind yourself that you've lied. So when she heard that, she said, oh, I can't believe I married such a tzaddik. we've been married 30 years and there's only 7 eggs. Oh my goodness, I've lied to you so many times about so many things, and you've only lied 7 times. And she was crying, and she was, but why don't you tell me, what was the $50,000? And he said, well, every time I had a dozen eggs, I would then go sell it and make the change, and that was the I guess the what did he want to bring out with the story was that really the whole idea of saving the eggs was, if a person is reminded of how often they've made a mistake, they'll avoid it. Right? If every time a person lies they had an egg, eventually they'd stop lying because it's going to be filled with eggs. But he would then sell the eggs, and this way he put it away, like he wouldn't have to see it. And so that's what happens sometimes, is we tell a lie and then we don't have to see it and we ignore it. Whereas if we feel bad about our mistakes and we look at them, hopefully we won't repeat them. And what he said was that he felt that Hanukkah, the custom is to look at the candles when they're burning, or to look at the lights. And part of the idea of the lights of Hanukkah are to look into ourselves and to see what we're hiding. In other words, like, we're not looking at the fact that we sometimes are not saying the truth when we should be. If we're there's the idea that when you see a light, you see something for what it is. When things are dark, you can't really see what's there. But in the light, then you can see the truth. You can see what it really is. And so part of what the Hanukkah lights come to do is they help us see the truth. They help us see they help us recognize what truth is. And that really should be the seal of every person. If a person is able to grab that, it's what's scary, just be very honest with you, is that we live in a world where it is very hard to be truthful. We're tested all the time. People in the business world, they run into this, just put down something different than this, just write this and that'll be okay. Or just, if a person isn't ready for it, if they don't think that this is something that's important to me and this is what Hashem wants, so then they do it. Well, everybody does now and then. They make a mistake. They're not thinking. But after a while, it gets buried. And before they know it, they're living a lot of different lives. And it becomes difficult for a person. And they're not... on the other hand, if a person passes the test, they keep the world going. And so it's one of those things that we always try to work on. We work on truth. It's not something that we get, well, from now on I'm going to tell the truth and I'm never going to lie again. Well, no, it's part of what I am as a person, and part of what the Torah wants from me is to be a person that's truthful. And in fact, when the Torah says not to lie, it doesn't just say don't lie. It says midvar shekhar tirkach. It says keep far away from something false. It's like we need to, keep our distance because it gets very contagious. One lie leads to another, leads to another, and it's just so true. And so it's one of those things that if we think about when we see it around us, we can really build up on it and become strong. And we may not, one of the things, we don't always see in front of us a person that's sacrificed for truth. It's not like we don't get a trophy for it. We don't get a big reward. It's that people aren't saying, when you know a lot of wisdom or but if you're a person in your life who has always tried to be truthful, then a Kadosh Baruch Hu loves you. And he loves you anyways, but then a person is unique and they keep the world going. And so it's worth grabbing that attribute of trying to work on truth and being able to carry through, and that would be a worthwhile thing. Are there some questions? They had this. This Rabbi Kamenetsky was known for just being very truthful. And someone came to them before their wedding, and they said when they were a young child, they were in a traffic accident, and the lawyer told them to lie so that they would get the insurance money. I didn't know they were wearing the seatbelt. They weren't wearing the seatbelt, or well, the light was red, the light was green, and as a child they lied, and they got this big settlement. And they wanted to know, can we keep the money? What should I do? I'm starting off my life. I don't want to live my life as a lie. I don't want to benefit, And that was one of the questions that that they asked him. And he usually, I mean, the first question was, is it possible to return the money? Like here it was like it's in some insurance claim from like 20 years ago, and there's like no way. And if she would then go and tell the insurance man, well, my parents had me lie, the lawyer had me lie, then they would get in trouble, and it would like, it was just not a feasible solution. But on the other hand, he felt that it wasn't good to benefit from this money that had been brought through a lie, and so he felt that that should be given away. That was just an interesting. There's just a lot of. It's a very practical mitzvah. There are a lot of cases in life where there's a question, you know, what to do, and in the world we live in, there are some people that don't hesitate to. They'll lie just like that. We see it all in my field. I work in kashrus. Sometimes if there's a, sometimes I'll pretend there's a problem. I did this once to show somebody something, and I said, you know, and the person, when he thought there was a problem, he lied to say that there wasn't a problem, but it really wasn't even a problem. But he just thought, in other words, sometimes people tell you what they think they want you to hear. So if you say, well, why is that, you know, why is the food on the floor, or why is this over here, or why, oh, it's just by mistake, we never leave it like that, you know. Like a person's first reaction is, say whatever you can to get the inspector off your case, right? And that was the, but that's a lie. Of course it's a lie. You got to tell them whatever you need so that he doesn't bother us. But and sometimes it's like so obvious, but certain people, truth is just not important to them. It's just whatever makes the most sense at the time. And so it's just, in life, it's good to, like I said, to focus on truth as a quality that we can be proud of, that the people that we respect, when you think about it, they're typically people that are people of truth. That's what they stand for. That's who they are. That's what makes them special, because they're true. Their inside is like their outside. I even saw, it's interesting, one of the books I had said that the word tmima, tamim, means that a person's inside and outside are the same. In other words, that they're not false. One thing that confuses people, and that is that there's a Hasidic philosophy that a person should act like they're pious, because then their inside will be pious. In other words, if you do like extra strict things, so even if you're not so frum, then that'll make you be frum. In other words, if you put on a hat, if you dress a certain way, if you do certain, if you, with men, it's like putting on two pairs of tefillin, or that, if you do things a certain way on the outside, then that'll bring, and there is something to that. In other words, sometimes if you try to do something on the outside, even though you don't really understand it, you will then find meaning. Metok shelo lishma ba lishma. In other words, sometimes you do what's right, even if you don't think, I'm really such a holy person who does this. And there's nothing wrong. It's not being false. It's not saying, well, I don't really believe in it. On the other hand, sometimes we sense a hypocrisy. Like, that person is telling me, you know, Hashem hates people that are arrogant. That person's arrogant. Hashem hates people that are liars. That person's a liar. That person's not observant. And they walk around like they're so observant, or they're so, and so a person gets turned off because there's a lack of honesty. It's one thing to say, well, I'm really not holding there, but I'd like to try, or I'd like to associate with people that are liars. I'm not saying that I am or that I will be. And that's an important thing to realize. In other words, that we try to be sincere and to get where we are, but it's, you know, sometimes we get turned off if something isn't what they pretend to be, or we think somebody's pretending to be something that they're not.
Right, that's right.
Once they're there, so that's not lying. That's, they know that they're trying to get there. That's right. That's right. I have some people that they don't want to keep kosher in the house because they know they'll have to eat out, and so they don't want it to be a lie. Like, And as the Chafetz Chaim says that a person should do whatever mitzvah they can do. He goes so far, he says that even that when a person eats treif, if they don't lick their lips, that's something. So by all means, if you can only keep kosher in the house, keep kosher. But the person says, no, I'll be a hypocrite because I know I have to eat treif, I have to go eat whatever it is, you know, fast food. And so on the one hand, they have a good quality that they want to be honest. And they don't want to pretend that they're something that they're not. On the other hand, any good thing that you do is good. Never say, because I want to be honest, I can't do some good. And it doesn't mean I'm pretending. My house is fully kosher. I know, but that sometimes it works against a person. They're afraid to be a hypocrite. But it's not that they're a hypocrite. This I'm able to do. This I'm not yet able to do. I'm not looking down. I'm not saying that my dishes are kosher. I don't know about, you know, when I go out to eat. Or there's some people that actually bring non-kosher in and they eat on paper plates, non-kosher, so that their dishes won't be. But whatever a person does is a value. But if a person really, it's important to think about it. Like if a person takes the time to think things through, then they'll do the right thing. In other words, then they won't use truth as an excuse not to do something, but they'll see, well, I want to try, I want to act this way, I want to do this way, I'll see, I'm not saying I can always be that way, I'm not bragging, I'm not doing this, but it's one of the qualities that a person always wants to use, because it's the seal of Hashem, it's the world that, Breshis Bara Elohim, you take the last letters, it's MS. Breshis, as the world was created with truth, and that's the seal of Hashem. And so, to the extent that we're able to be more truthful than the people around us, and we're able to win those battles, we've succeeded, and we've really done a lot to in our avodas Hashem. Okay.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.